I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And what we're doing most of these days is going through the scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and that is exactly what we're going to begin again today. Today we're going to be looking at the writings of Paul the Apostle, and specifically 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has a lot of good things to teach us, and especially all of us that have been called out of idolatry, living in the great land of the United States of America, having gone to public school systems, having been indoctrinated and schooled in the ways of romance, in the ways of idolatry, and the idolatry of romance, the idolatry of the laws of men being superior to the laws of God, the idolatry of patriotism, putting the country and the nation of Mystery Babylon, or the second beast of Revelation, that is America, above the kingdom of heaven and above the laws of the kingdom of heaven. So 1 Corinthians is a fitting book for us to be jumping into today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now we're reading out of the Authorized King James Version. And that is a version that was changed from the original 1611 King James Version. And you'll hear people say the AV 1611, there's no such thing. The Authorized Version came about later when a scholar or a group of scholars decided to modernize the language. And they changed the original 1611 language, like they changed the name of the Messiah from Jesus to Jesus, pretty much Latinizing the name, becoming used to that, I guess, the Latin form of the name. And they made a lot of other changes too, and we'll highlight a few of these. If you're looking at your Authorized King James Version, you'll notice that there are italicized words in there, and those are words that were not in the original 1611 version, but they do appear in the Authorized Version. Those scholars or group of scholars that updated the King James 1611 version added words for clarity, they thought. Sometimes I think those words, while they may have had the best intentions, sometimes they work, and sometimes they're a hindrance, I believe. So anyway, let's jump right in here. I hope you'll be following along with me in your eSword. If you don't have the Bible program eSword, you go to e-sword.net and download the eSword program. program there, and with that you will get the authorized King James Version, and of course it will be keyed with the Strong's numbering system, where you can look at the actual original languages and search it out that way to for a better understanding. Basically, what you receive with the authorized King James Version and the ESORT edition, keyed to the Strong's numbering system, is you gain a window into the Textus Receptus, and that is the original language which the text was received in. And you can search things out for a better understanding once you learn how to use this wonderful tool. So do go there. You can find a link on my website, crosstheborder.org, for the e-sword.net website. You can also find it on libertyradiolive.com, firstamendmentradio.com, or you can just Google e-sword, and I'm sure that you'll find it. One of the best Bible programs I have ever seen, and before the internet became a thing, and before Bible programs became widely distributed and there became so many of them, I used to pay for programs that weren't this good. And so this is much better than any of the programs I paid for. Plus, this one has all of the features and many more than the ones I used to pay for. So we jump in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and he has in here Sosthenes, our brother. I'm not sure what the reference to Sosthenes is, and I'm not sure that that my good friend Henry gives me a clue, because I was reading a little bit about from Henry here, and he goes off into geography, so I decided to leave off of Henry, and we'll just have to rely on the Holy Spirit. As if that's not better, right? Okay. Through the will of God, yes. And verse 2. Unto the church, the ecclesia of God, which is at Corinth. And of course, the church, the word church there in the English, it comes from the ecclesia as a demonstration of peering into the original language, into the Textus Receptus. That is the language that we received the Word of God in, and that was, in this instance, is of course the Greek. And we see the word ecclesia there, and we realize that the ecclesia, well, it says a calling out. You know, there's always been a called out people to our God, to our Creator, from the beginning of time. Of course, he created the first man and the woman, and that was Adam and Eve, and they were not called out until they fell into sin. And then they fell into sin, of course, then afterwards they received the gospel message, and you can find that recorded quite briefly in the book of Genesis. They received the message and they were looking forward, and you see the indications that they were looking forward, especially when Seth was born, and with the exclamation that God has given us a man to take the place of righteous Abel. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, so they were called out. And then, of course, we have the preacher who wrote in a book that was called Ecclesiastes in the Greek with the Septuagint. So it was translated into the same name that we use in the Greek for the church, the Ecclesia. So you have the book to the of Ecclesiastes to the called out ones in the Old Testament. And of course, like I said, the name came from the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament going back to about 300 B.C. So, unto the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Yahshua, the Messiah, Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Are you called to be a saint? Let's see who's in the chat room today. We have Tom, Saint Tom, Saint Thomas Fress, and we have Saint ABCD, Saint, well, I don't know your real names. No one's using their real names except Saint Tom there. But are you called to be a saint? I canonize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No. Makes me think of that church over there, so-called church. And they are hardly the ecclesia. They are hardly the called out ones to our God. If anything, they are the called out ones to Satan. And of course, they like to canonize their saints. They're separated ones, and make statues to them so that men can pray to men and men can pray to idols. But hey, right here, you know, Paul is saying to the people in Corinth, those ones that are called out by God, the ecclesia, the church at Corinth, and he says, you are sanctified unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. And what does the word sanctify mean there? Well, you know, if you're in your eSword, you can mouse over it there. We have the Greek 37 from the Strong's, and it says hagiadzo, to make holy. That is, to purify, to consecrate, to venerate, to hallow, to be holy, to sanctify. And another one, which I don't see there, is to set apart. We're set apart for God. So to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And, of course, the same word there for saints is the hagio, or is a closely related word to the one sanctified, saints, which, again, really means set apart. But the he has here, and he has an awful thing, something which means full of awe. I mean, if our God, our Creator, sets us apart from the world, isn't that an awe, a thing full of awe for us? It should be an awful thing, he writes in here. A sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated, holy thing, saint. Again, I would say set apart from the world. So we are saints, we are called, and here's an example of where the authorized King James Version, I went right over it, because sometimes I automatically do that, where they added in italics, it says called to be saints, and puts it off into the future, because to be is a future tense, it's a phrase that indicates a future tense. So if you're called to be a saint, that means someday you'll be a saint. But here I believe that as well-intentioned as they might have been, perhaps they didn't believe that they were actually saints. Perhaps they were more Catholicized in their thinking. The scholars that updated the 1611 and added these words for clarification. And of course, the word authorized for their version comes from the major denominations, Protestant denominations of that day, which said, okay, we'll use this, we're authorizing this for our congregations to use in our meetings. And that's where the name authorized came from, the King James Version, as opposed to the 1611 original, which was never called the authorized version. So, but they add here to be, and so I would read it without the to be, called saints. We are called saints. It's present tense. It's not future tense. They change the tense, and I believe that's where they stepped over the line, is when they change the tense from present tense, called saints, to called to be saints. So we'll read it without the future tense added. We'll read it as it was written, as it was given to us in the Textus Receptus. To them that are sanctified in Yahshua, Christ Jesus, called saints. Are you called saints? I'll I am Saint Nicholas. I am the true Saint Nicholas, because I am me. And there may be other people out there with the name Nicholas with different spellings that may or may not be saints, but I am the one and only Saint Nicholas sitting here behind this microphone talking to you right now. And I was not canonized by men. I was not canonized by the Vicaris Filii Dei group. I was called by my God and my Creator, the one and only. So, called saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, Yahshua, Mashiach, the Messiah. So who's a saint? Called saints with all that in every place call upon the name. So all those that call upon his name. And you know, to call upon his name doesn't just mean to call with your mouth upon his name, but it means that you actually seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. You call on him for everything. He is first in your life. He is your king, and he is your God. Then you are set apart for him because you belong to him. Because there are a bunch of people out there, so all you got to do is say the magic words, call upon the name, and you'll be saved, and then you can go back to your ordinary business, you know, of sinning and working for things and your idolatry. But always remember, no one can snatch you out of his hand. You know, the once saved, always saved crowd. Well, they forget all about all of the other wonderful things that Paul said, like to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And things that the Messiah said, like he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the Messiah also said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord. And it's not everyone who just simply calls on the name of the Lord, goes through the motions. Not everyone who simply goes through the motions of calling on me. So I'm ad-libbing a little bit, building on it a little bit, trying to get the idea of a cross of what the Messiah was actually saying when he said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so you can't really get it any plainer than that. It's the same thing as saying, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And his, that is the righteousness, to do what's right in the sight of our God, to live a life that's pleasing to him, and his righteousness. Didn't exclude his righteousness, he said, and his righteousness. If you leave out the his righteousness part, well, you're missing the boat, okay? You got to have his righteousness. You got to start practicing his righteousness. His righteousness is the thing that you want to do. Because you want to please the king, because you love him, because he loved you first, and he proved his love to you by becoming a man and taking your place and freeing you from the power of sin and death. So it's fitting that we should want to live our life in a way that's pleasing to him, that we should look into his law and into his word and say, yes, I see your law is holy and just and good, and everything that you want me to do is good for me. Because you love me, I will do it. Because I love you, I will live my life in a way that's pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. And this is the mind of Christ. This is the mind that needs to be in us so that we can have his kingdom and his righteousness, because they go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Paul continues here. Grace. Now, wait a minute. Don't want to jump ahead of myself. I will just read verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Yahshua, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, here in the Authorized King James Version, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua, our Messiah, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And I was just thinking something here. Paul, the apostle, of course, he persecuted the saints in Jerusalem and also got a letter, and he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the believers there when he had his Damascus Road experience. And then with the passage of time, of course, he was accepted by the brethren because of his testimony and because of his conversion. And I'll bet you when he went to Corinth and he went to these places to plant the church, I'll bet you he never uttered the words, Jesus Christ. I'll bet you he always said the name Yahshua, the Messiah. I'll bet you he always spoke the proper name. And I'm pretty sure that I could rest assured that he did speak the name properly. Though we have it, if he wrote in Greek, or his scribes wrote in Greek, this is the form that we have it in. And I've discussed this before. Why? You know, why didn't he write it in Hebrew? And I believe that because the 70 weeks that were determined for Israel, national Israel, were over, and of course when those 70 weeks were up, national Israel became equal in status before God Almighty, before the gospel of Yahshua the Messiah, they became equal in status to all of the other unbelieving nations. Because the time determined for their special dispensation as God's chosen people was over. That's right. That's what it means. And then the people of God, see, God's chosen people are now only these people here. And we just read about them. It says, and we covered it right here in verse 2 of the Church of God. And they were at Corinth. They were sanctified. And it says, with all that in every place call upon the name. See, there are the chosen people of God. And of course, this included a large contingent of people that were of national Israel. And these would be the obedient of Israel. And the disobedient of Israel, well, they went on. And in their unbelief and continued to practice Judaism and Talmudic Judaism and their Phariseeism and the religion of Israel, the religion that rejected the Messiah and even put him to death. And that's the disobedient. So the posterity of the disobedient, can we call them the God's chosen people? I think not. And I think it is quite clear in the scripture and prophecy who are the chosen people of God from that time on, even until this day. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Promise or right, dear, I would jump if I knew you'd catch me. Stay. staring over the edge. I can tell if you'll be here for me. I close my eyes and make a wish. Turn out the lights and take a breath. Pray that when the wick is burned, you would say that it's all about love. You were there when I needed you. You were there when the skies grow white, white, oh.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can go visit me there. I have a short video which I think everyone should see. It's a 10-minute video, and it's called it's about the origin of the virgin birth. It gets back to the biblical origins of the virgin birth, how the whole idea of the virgin birth preceded all of the pagan counterfeits, And that's what makes them counterfeits, because the original is from the scripture itself. It predates, precedes everything pagan, and hopefully gives people a better understanding about the virgin birth, its importance, and about the existence of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, from the very beginning of history until today. So I would like to ask everyone to go there and watch that video and share it with as many people as you can. Embed it in emails and send it around. Do it. It's a very important video, I think. I did a lot of research on the virgin birth, and I don't believe that there's anything out there like it. So do take advantage of that. Also take advantage of the Bible studies there on my website, crosstheborder.org. This Bible study will be uploaded later today, probably later this evening, but you can also listen to it several more times later this afternoon on libertyradiolive.com, and you can listen to it late at night at firstamendmentradio.com, and then on demand, of course, later tonight. So do take advantage. You'll find a link there on my website, crosstheborder.org, and it'll take you, for the most recent programs, it'll take you into an index there where you can look at the dated programs, and you'll see this program dated along with several others. So do take advantage of those and go through those Bible studies with me. Also, you'll find an email link there on my website. Would like to hear from you. Make sure you put my name, a reference to the Bible study, or whatever reference in the subject line, so your email doesn't get relegated to the netherworld where emails don't get read. And if you don't hear from me, if you ask a question or something, sometimes people just make comments not expecting an answer. But if you want an answer, I may answer on air, and or I may answer the email directly. So crosstheborder.org. Let's jump back into our study. We're going through the book called 1 Corinthians out of the New Testament, the work of the pen of Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, or to the heathen, as he was called, the 13th apostle. How about that? And where did we leave off? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua, the Messiah, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, and that's chapter 1, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So Paul shows up in town, or he gets a report by writing, however he gets it, from those which are of the house of Chloe. And, of course, which are of the house is added, as you can see, but in this case it is a clarification that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Well, you know, I can see why some of these denominations and sects didn't reference Paul as being the founder of the Roman Church, because he speaks up here immediately and even throughout his writings occasionally, you'll find that he rails against divisions. He rails against sects and dividing of the church, saying, I am of this and I am that. And that's what he's railing against here. He's railing against denomination, denominating yourself as being of this group or of that group, or following this teaching or that teaching. And what does he say? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, saying, I am of Paul? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you, he goes on, except Crispus and Gaius. In verse 16, he says, I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. But what he's saying is, just simply because I baptize someone doesn't mean that you're of the sect of Paul now. That, you know, like he said, was I crucified for you? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And this is such a true statement. I was talking about my video on my website, crosstheborder.org, there, about the virgin birth. And some people just say thank you for that video. But I'll tell you, half of the comments that I get come from those that are perishing. And some of them, every other word is just foulness of language and just terrible comments and the virulent hatred and profanity that pours from these people is just, well, it's hard to describe, but it just really tells you who they are. And I'll usually write back to them, you know, something like that. When people write or speak, they testify of their own character, something like that. And that's, I just leave it at that, that out comes the testimony of their own character, because I want them to look at themselves, because that's what's pouring forth, is who they are. And that's the sad thing. But Paul says it here, and he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And of course, the Corinth was in Greece. So he says, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Of course, the Jews, the Yahudim, were looking for a Messiah who would conquer and put down and restore Israel to a sovereign nation to rule over the whole earth. That's what they were looking forward to. But they wanted it their way, and God wanted to give it to them his way, because he wanted to save them from their sins. And yes, that same Messiah that they rejected, because he was not the Messiah they were looking for, well, he is the Messiah they were looking for. He just was not on their timetable. He wanted to first save them from their sins, but he will come back, and he will set up a kingdom that will be everlasting. and his holy nation will cover the whole earth. And I am so glad that we are called saints, that we are called his holy nation and his holy people. We will be a part of it. And that's why we study this word. That's why we study his law. We are preparing ourselves to enter into his kingdom when he returns. Because when he returns, if we haven't already been gone to the resurrection or the grave, we will be resurrected at that time. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it is recorded. And we will be priests and kings to our God. We will rule and reign with him for that millennial period. So let us prepare ourselves for that, because that's what this life is. It's a preparation for that. And not only is it preparation for that, but it is a preparation for a new heaven and a new earth to follow, for an eternity of good things. And that eternity will last forever. And everything that you ever could dream of that was good will be satisfied. And it will be satisfied beyond what you could desire, because it will be better than anything that you can desire with your mortal mind. So he says in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Or I would say, you know, the "are called" is added here. I would say, not many wise after the flesh, not many noble, and not many mighty after the flesh answer the call. That's right. Because it says many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe that is simply because few answer the call. The wise of the world, the mighty of the world, and the noble of the world, well, they don't have time to answer the call. The noble, well, they have things to do. They have to sit up there in Congress. They have to sit in the legislature and make laws. They have to administer their little kingdoms on earth, their little plots of land, and rule over the people that they have to rule over, because they're the nobles of the earth. That's right. And the mighty, well, they're not weaklings that need a crutch like a savior. They don't need anyone to save them because they are mighty. They're not going to answer the call because they don't need a savior. And how about the wise? Well, they don't need the wisdom and the foolishness of the cross after all. They've searched these things out. They have their philosophies and they have their knowledge and they have all of their propositions of history and they have all of their theories. And the wisdom of God, the foolishness of the cross, well, that just is not going to work. They don't have time to answer the call. They have much more important things to look into. And so there you have the wise, the mighty, and the noble of the world. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God, our Creator, hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Yahshua the Messiah, who of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Yahshua, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. And if you want to hear enticing words of wisdom of the world, well, there's a movie out there called Zeitgeist, and they've changed it again because they put more enticing words at the beginning of it. More New Age claptrap to ensnare those who think they are wise. It's out there, and Zeitgeist means the spirit of the age. And someone sent me a comment on my anti-Zeitgeist movie here a few days ago, and it says, isn't anti-Zeitgeist anti-Christ? Yes, what they're doing is equating the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, with the Spirit of the age? I think not. The Spirit of the age is the Spirit of this age? Is that wisdom? No. The Spirit of the age is anti-Christ. It is against him. That is abundantly clear. The Spirit of the age is embodied in that movie called Zeitgeist. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden. It says here, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And there it is, the wisdom which was hidden from the world, from those that seek the wisdom of men. And who is it revealed to? Who has this mystery been revealed to from the beginning? Well, those that enter into the kingdom of God, those that have said to the Creator, you're my King. I will live in your kingdom, and I will live a life that's pleasing to you. I will live a life of obedience because I love you. I desire to live my life in a way that pleases my Creator. That's how we stand in His kingdom. And when we live that righteous life, when we put off the wickedness of this world, when we put down the idolatry of the age we live in, then is revealed to us the wisdom of our Creator, the mysteries that are hidden, that have been hidden from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. We obtain ears to hear and eyes to see those things which were hidden in that mystery. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, because I'm reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And that mystery, the words that we speak, are confusion to the world because they're hidden from them. They can't see them. All idolaters, all they will hear is confusion. Yes, you can be ecumenical and evangelical, and you can bring all of the pagans and the idolaters into your congregation, and they will still be blind to the mystery of the kingdom of God. And not only will they be blind, but they will help you in your blindness to keep you from seeing the mystery. When you embrace their idolatries and you embrace the pollutions of idols, and things just will get worse and worse. Next thing you know, you have homosexual pastors, and you're marrying homosexuals in your church because it is idolatry. And of course, the expression of the idolatry of romance, which has been fully embraced by the corporate church of today. They embrace romance over agape. They embrace the idolatry of romance and liberty. Liberty from the law of God. That's what romance embodies, liberty from the law of God. Because the state will give you license because you want to break God's law. And that's why they look to the state and they worship the state as their God. And the state becomes their idol. It is their fiction. Because that's exactly what the state is. It becomes a fictitious entity which they worship. Because it will make laws that they like. That's right. So they can break the laws of God. They can commit adultery because it's not against the law. They can practice homosexuality because it's not against man's law. And why man will even allow them to have something equal to marriage, if not marriage. And soon enough, they will force even in their all their corporate congregations who enjoy the benefits of being married to the state. It's coming. It just keeps growing as time goes on. And where are they going to hide then? So, let us understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but only by learning to live a life that's pleasing to Him, putting off the idolatry and putting on the righteousness of our Messiah, will we begin to understand the mysteries of His kingdom and all of the other mysteries that are hidden in His Word. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. And we skip the music again.